Hi everybody, good Friday. It's a good Friday whilst we're recording this. It's going to be Monday onwards when you guys all listen to it, but it's an Easter special. So yeah, it is good Friday today. So I hope everybody's well and welcome to episode 13. Unlucky for some, not for us though, hopefully, of the Alcohol Uncensored podcasts. Kelly, how's your week been? All right?
Good. I'm just absolutely knackered this week, like totally shattered. I think I had a busy weekend last weekend and not a lot of sleep, and it's just took its toll on me this week. And then I've got my son's engagement party tomorrow evening. So although I've been off work today, I've been running about like a blue arse fly, as they say in Scotland. Don't know if that's a UK thing, but I've been running about crazy trying to get organised for that. So, but apart from that, I'm good. What about you, Ian?
I am feeling, oh God, this is going to be, we're going to have to really raise our game here, aren't we? Because I'm feeling tired as well. Yeah. I wonder if it's something like, something to do with Easter, as in, you know, it's sort of, I like routine, if you know what I mean. I like to know where I am. I like to know, you know, I like some sort of regularity in my days and my weeks. And I've been a bit all over the place this last week or two. And I'm tired. I am feeling really, really tired. And I could do with a kip all the time. I had to go back to bed, so I've wasted my Friday. A bit like having a hangover. I was at the gym first thing, and then we came back. We went out, and then I came back and said, "I'm gonna have to go and have a lie down." And I just meant to set my alarm for like half an hour and then have a sleep, and I was there for an hour and a half, and woke up feeling terrible. And then I've been, you know, with all the masses in Tesco in the supermarket all day, so I've had a terrible day, and I feel absolutely wiped out. But I think it's just, you have these times, don't you?
And, I think that's it. Sometimes you just need to listen to your body and rest when you need it. I think that's one of the things. When you remove alcohol from your life, you think, oh, I'm going to be bouncing of energy all the time. Yeah, majority of the time, yeah, you feel great, but we're still human. It's still natural to feel tired when it's been so busy.
Yeah, yeah. But I think you start to try and do more, don't you? So you you end up doing a load of things because you're not hungover all the time. But then you pile all these things on top of each other in your life. Before you know it, you're doing like loads of stuff, and then now and again, just been a lot. Do you know what I mean? And it's just like, anyway, let's keep it upbeat. We're gonna lose people that are at a knot if we keep going on like this, Kelly. Luckily today we've got somebody who can probably calm us down and sort of, you know, has got some sort of disciplines that me and you could probably do with, Kelly, I reckon.
Yeah, let's get some healing on the go.
Yeah, yeah. Why don't you introduce our guest, Kelly? Tell us a bit about who we've got with us today.
This next guest, she actually stays in my local area. She joined Over the Influence, the community, way back when it was a community. And I remember when she joined and I seen her name, and at first, I don't know if I've told her this or not, but she was joining a Zoom and I was like, she just wanted to find out about my drinking. That's the way I was at the time, because it was still one of those kind of shameful secrets. I was like, that was kind of hiding, whereas now I kind of shout it from the rooftops. But I was like, God, I'm not going to say a lot on the Zoom. And I think I was hosting a Zoom actually. And then eventually thought, you know, it doesn't even matter. But it takes time. It takes time to get there. So I'm going to introduce Laura. Laura has been alcohol free since she joined the community over 3 years ago. Is that right, Laura?
Yes, 3.5 years. 4 years come September. Yep.
Amazing. I think we'll follow the same format that Ian usually does, and just tell us a bit about yourself, what your life was like when you were drinking, why you decided to remove alcohol from your life, and where you are now.
Oh, well, how long have we got?
Wrap yourselves in.
Bro, I don't really know. Like, my style of drinking was drink to get drunk. And then I realised kind of through joining this community that I've actually had social anxieties, and that was the reason why I would be uncomfortable, and that's why I'd be getting drunker, for a false sense of confidence. So that was always my 20s and my 30s, that was me. And I suppose just into my 30s, I was just tired of the blackouts. It's nothing to be laughing about, but... So I moved house, just lived experiences, I suppose, relationship breakdowns through, you know, kind of probably the same nature, addiction and alcohol and whatnot. So I had a few kind of lived life experiences that really has brought me to where I'm at today. So when I moved house 3.5 years ago, I stopped drinking at the same time as well. And actually the same thing as yourself, Kelly. I was kind of a wee bit unsure because I knew that you were on this OTI as well. Should I say that actually? What is I knew were there as well, and I was a wee bit like uncomfortable. And actually, I don't know if I said this. I had joined an American-based one because I thought I was a wee bit unsure as well. And kind of realized maybe that was not for me, and more the OTI was, because it was just about people removing alcohol for their life for a lifestyle choice. And I feel as if I learned so much like through the Zooms, and it really filled my evenings. And I think it was more the learning aspect actually, like feeling like this is normal. This has been like feeling the feels, and like I feel as if it was a great wee community, and I learned so much from it. So I did. But at that same time as well, on my wee healing journey, I was probably feeling quite sad for about 8 months. I think quite a heaviness on me. All these emotions were coming to the surface, and again, being on this OTI journey was amazing because joining the Zooms and realizing that it's part of the process and it was completely normal. So I used a lot of kind of self-care. I just kept moving forward, woodland walks, out with my dogs. As you remember, I had Ella and then I got
I
Rose.
remember your dogs.
Oh, so you know, so for me, on the healing side of things, I reached out to a lady who I worked with many, many years ago, who was a Reiki master way back, and that's how my journey began with the healing side of things. Initially, I thought that I was getting it wrong, where everybody was running marathons and all this energy, whereas I was actually burnt out physically. My nervous system was just shattered. And anytime I tried, because I was, as you know, Kayleigh, I used to do running, and I think, like, come on, you can do this. And then I was just completely overexerting myself, and then I was ending up flat out not well for days. And I thought, what am I doing wrong? But I had heard actually you were talking. I think I've seen one of your clips on one of your podcasts. And it's actually that was the topic of the conversation on one of your Zooms, that it's not always about, having all this energy and this kind of oomph. And I actually felt when you had invited me on, I thought, how can I go and sell this experience? I'm not running, I'm not doing marathons, I'm not out doing hills. But in the flip side of it, I've created a business, I'm happy in my core, I'm the most settled that I have ever been. And I've created a business, that I would never, ever, ever have done if I hadn't removed alcohol from my life. So on the flip side of it, like, I'm like, stop being hard on yourself for not out running. Like, you're in the woods every day, heel to toe walking, but I'm still happy in my core. So
I think that's why Kelly was keen to get you on, Laura, because it's exactly that. Because I think we're conscious that we sound like a running club rather than a group that's supposed to be here to sort of talk about the many, many, many benefits that come about when you decide to stop drinking. It's all about finding those things that sort of work for you. And I've been sort of watching you on Facebook, and now you've created a business out of something that you've always been interested in. It's about finding sort of what makes you tick, isn't it? And making the most of that. And it isn't about, just doing what everybody else does. Just because everyone else is running or getting fit and doing this, that, and the other, that's just one thing to do, isn't it?
I think another reason the kind of I was like keen to get Laura on as well is not only because how much she's turned her life around, because I've seen it, because you did use the Zooms in the beginning of quite a lot, Laura. Like you said, you learned so much about yourself, you learned that you weren't on your own, and you got so much from them and the community. And now you're not in an alcohol-free community because you're strong in your journey, but you've created a new community yourself, really, haven't you? You've created this business that's kind of focused around community, helping other people as well as helping yourself along the way. And I think that's what it's about, isn't it? When you remove alcohol from your life, it's about finding out who you really are and what makes you tick, just like what Ian was saying there.
It has been an absolute amazing journey. And for me, doing what I'm doing, people that have been here for day one, and for me, watching their journey and their progress, it's amazing. And In fact, we had a wee session last night, all men's session, sound and energy healing. And I had 8 men turn up, not knowing what they were in for. Everybody was just like game for it. They were absolutely brilliant. The feedback was phenomenal, but it was the chat afterwards. We're all so like-minded. We're on, I think there was one person, I think, that was probably, that would still take a drink every now and again. So I was laughing at the end, and I said, I promise this is not an AA meeting or that, you know, because we were all promoting and singing for, yeah, you know, how much, like, it, what it was like in the older days, because this wasn't available. This was not available. I think social media has definitely got its pros and its cons. But I think in my 20s, my 30s, if I knew this was, there was a different way to life, I feel as if it was like a very much a culture thing. Yeah. That cycle of having a drink at the weekend and feeling as if somebody was holding me back for speaking until Thursday. And then that cycle just went again and again. Yeah. And that was my 20s and my 30s. And I think on this wee journey, connecting with like-minded people, social media has been nothing but, it's been great for myself, so it has. And now I'm starting to bring this wee community as well. Last night was like a wee networking event. It was wonderful. It really was.
Let's go back a little bit, Lauren, and tell us how your journey actually started. So you spoke a little bit about you felt like you weren't running and like, how am I not doing all this stuff and I need to find something for you. So how did the business start? Because obviously I follow you on social media and it's doing amazing and it's been lovely to see. But it started kind of smaller, didn't it? It's grown into something bigger than what it did originally.
So for me, it was a separation. So it was that had happened, and actually, that's when I really started, probably about 9 years ago, my journey started really, getting over a situation that was going on. I get into running, and I was doing running every day. I was running 5K every day, doing hills, doing weights. But I've always been one of these people, I like to fly solo, and I still am like that. That's just the way I'm at. So then fast forward, you think you've healed and you've done all this work, and so it was meditation, mindfulness, everything was just on YouTube, you know, kind of doing it all myself. Met somebody else, with them for 3 years, again that didn't work, and separated, moved house, and I just felt a sadness, like a heaviness for about 8 months, and I never said to MD, I just kept walking through it, it'll lift. And actually the community was a great support at that time. And I just feel, I reached out to that lady that who I worked with many, many years ago, who's my now my Reiki master. And I started my journey for me because I knew that I didn't want to feel this sad, this kind of wee heaviness. So I do know that when you do remove alcohol for your life, it's not an easy journey. It's just about knowing that you will come out the other end. And 8 months, I say 8 months because at 8 months I started to feel lighter, spring in my step. And when I started my Reiki journey, I have, for the day that I started it, I've been consistent with it every single day. Really, really passionate about it. And then I started to think, how can I make this better for people? And then I was trying to bring in massage as well. And then obviously it kind of grew a wee bit more, and done loads of different courses, thinking if I was to make this a business, how could it work financially? So I've done loads of courses, and I've actually brought myself back to just the healing side of things, the Reiki, the massage, and the sound healing. And it's, I'm so passionate about what I do. I love it. I don't know if I've been off track again. I've got a habit.
No.
So would you say that you were your own sort of customer, if you like, for a while, because you were so passionate and interested about it, so you explored it fully and then realised actually it came so naturally to you that you thought you can make a business out of this?
What happened was, like, so with Reiki and your attunement and whatnot, you do a self-healing. So I was self-healing every day. And then when I went to do my level two, I was just so, like, so committed to it, like really committed to it. And then I went and done my level two, and then that means I can work with other people. So, and I have been committed to it from that very first, my very first day, reaching out to this Reiki master. And like I say, the journey was for me, it was for my self-healing, but it's actually just developed into something that's allowed me to create this amazing wee business and this wee community, as Kayleigh said.
And I went to one of Laura's sessions. You can see her little room that she's got in the background. It's absolutely glorious. It's really beautiful. And I had went and I wasn't sure about it because I'm like, I'm not really into meditation. And I was like, is it woo-woo? She's like, it's not woo-woo, Kayleigh, just come and give it a go. And it was absolutely amazing. Like, I totally fell asleep and I actually cried. Like, the tears were streaming down my face and I still don't know to this day, like, why it happened. It was just such a lovely experience. And we've actually managed to get Laura to come and do, she started doing Zoom sessions now. So she started this week. So she's going to actually come into the community and do a session for us. And it's, everyone needs to try it. Like, I think I'd actually seen one of your guys post on social media today to say, like, I wasn't sure about it at all. And he thought it was amazing. And I think that's another thing. When we remove alcohol from our life, we're more open-minded to things, aren't we? We're more open-minded to trying new things.
Absolutely. So that fella that done that amazing review, he's 2 years sober. And again, this is connections through social media and just like watching people doing lives and kind of, you know, connecting with people. Mm-hmm. So that was an amazing, amazing review that he had done as well. And that generally people when they book on, they tend to come back because they're usually blown away, like see yourself with the experience. It really is incredible. But this week for me, stepping outside my comfort zone, even doing this, like there's no chance I would have had the guts to do this. If I was still drinking, because my vibration was just so low. So it was, but this week, doing the Zoom on, I'd done a Zoom on Monday night, I had 16 people log on. It was a little bit different. It was a bit nerve-wracking, I'm not going to lie. And I just felt as if, oh, where's this came from? Because usually I've got people in front of me. It was just a bit different setup. But I did manage to kind of dust myself down. And the flow, actually, when I started, was wonderful. Feedback was amazing. So I just started with a wee bit of breath work, some guided meditation, and then obviously the sound bowls are going in the background, which really allows people to kind of just go deeper, if you like. And it was so funny because the feedback afterwards, and people were messaging me the next day, like, I woke up at 11:30 at night and like everybody was logged off, you know, so it was quite funny, you know.
Oh, because they just slept.
Slept through it, but at the end of it, like that was always the way it was going to be anyway. The end of it's not going to be a chat. It's 9 o'clock at night. It's set if you're sleeping, just enjoy the rest of your sleep. So the fact that I've created this this Zoom, it's reaching people further afield. People are always reaching out to me saying, I wish I lived closer, because people are just so drawn to doing to what I'm doing. So it's a way of giving people the access to experience what this is and the comfort of their own home.
You'll have to educate me, Laura, because this is all completely new to me. So, and I imagine there's people listening now thinking, I'm not quite sure what this is all about. Talk us through it. If people come and start with the face-to-face ones, if people come and see you and they're booked into a communal class, presumably, what typically can they expect when they come in?
So, well, a nice meet and greet, I suppose, a comfortable space, like non-judgmental. And that is something that people say time and time again. It's like they're just, they feel so ease. Wait, I do different kind of sets. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I do hands-on massage treatment and one-to-one Reiki healing. So it's a quick, brief chat. And I always encourage people, like, try not to talk. Let's just have this time for you to zone out and just... The amount of people that come here and they feel so relaxed and able to zone out and have a massage treatment or a Reiki healing or some sound and energy healing, it's incredible, so it is. But for me, it's 9 times out of 10, people generally fall asleep during these sessions and wake up feeling wonderful. So they do, but not always. Sometimes it can bring emotions to the surface as well. So if you're someone who's on your healing journey, it's definitely a good wee something to kind of help you along the way, if you like. But like, say, my sessions, my group sessions, it's a case of just arrive, pick a space. And I've brought something a little bit different to the sound and energy healing. And it's delivered through a microphone, so the clients are all, they've all got headphones, so they feel that they're the only person in the space, so they can feel immersed within the sounds and the vibrations. And again, that's get amazing feedback as well. So, but yes, it's just, it's a very inviting space, a safe space where people can come, it's non-judgmental, and it's just it's a lovely wee community that I really have created here.
Did you say that the majority of your customers and clients are alcohol-free? That's not a prerequisite, is it? But is it just through the sort of contact and friends that you've made that's the way? Or
so people come to me for all different reasons. Primarily, it is ladies that come. And I want to say maybe more the mature lady, but I think what I see is people just living life experiences. You know, the younger ones, it's not really for them. The odd one comes, but it's more the mature lady. But I have got the odd male client that comes as well. So it was last night's session was about reaching more men because it's amazing. So it is. But last night, just the way it happened, basically all of us had all removed alcohol from our life. And that wasn't a setup. That was just the way it happened. Last night, so it was, and I suppose that's because maybe they are a bit more open-minded and on their wee journey. But back to your question, it is whether it's a loss, grief, stress, work stress, whatever it may be, these sessions just help people just navigate their day or their week ahead without kind of being up here, if that makes sense.
Yeah. How does it work? And I know I don't want to get into the science of it because it'll baffle me, but I can see in the background it's a very relaxing space. But how do people relax in those sort of situations, if that makes sense? You've been through it yourself, so it's like...
Well, initially, I start off with breath work. So you've got them really focused on their breath. So by that time, it kind of allows their mind to go quiet for the everyday life. And then we go into a wee bit of guided meditation. So the breath work at the start, I would say, really allows people just for their nervous system to calm, for them to settle and just fully absorb the session. By the time we get into the guided meditation, probably people are starting to nod off at that point. And then with the bowls, the vibrations of the bowls, it really just takes people somewhere a little deeper. So it does. But you should, are you going to be logging on, Ian?
I am. Do you know what? Kelly, are you feeling more chilled out than you were? Sort of telling, I am. I'm sort of like, just having this chat, making me sort of quite chilled out. So, yes, I will definitely be logging on, Laura, because it sounds great. The only sort of thing I can compare it with was I was in Bruges last October, and the people I was with said, well, you've got to go to this, there's this free harp concert. And we went in and it was being performed in this crypt. So it was a really sort of low vaulted ceiling. And this guy sat and he did a bit of a talk and he played all these various different types of harp. I didn't know, I just thought there was one harp, but there's loads of different harps. And he started doing this sort of concert. And I felt my eyes shutting. And I just sort of totally zoned out from everyone and everything. And I was just purely listening to this harp music. And when I kind of came to about sort of 20 minutes later, I felt totally different. And I imagine, because I kind of know what the soundboards are, you can tell us, Laura, if you don't mind, but I imagine, am I right? Is it on a similar sort of level to that? Or?
Yes, absolutely. Yep, definitely. Yeah. And that's incredible that you've kind of, it's a shift in energy, so it is. Hearing you saying after 20 minutes, you've sort of felt a wee bit better. I don't know if like, your experience, Kelly, like into the next following days, like if you felt a wee bit of a shift, because it can be quite emotional, it can bring things to the surface as well on part of your healing journey, if you like. It's part of the process. For some people, well, I'm going to say it's not really a one and done. For some people, it might be, but generally, people come back because they like how they feel during it.
I must admit, I'm definitely going to come back. I've just not had the time yet. I said it'll probably be me now by the time I come back, just getting a free Friday night. But I still don't. I'd like to go and see how I feel next time, because I was totally taken aback. I'm not a very emotional person. Like, I don't cry easily. And when the tears started, I remember lying there thinking, oh my God, don't you dare cry. Don't you dare cry. What's going on? And I just felt the tears come down my face and I can't explain it. So I'd like to go. I would like to do it again to see if anything comes with it. So maybe do that on the online session. But come back, Laura, obviously you've turned your life around and created this lovely business, which I know for you is about, a big part of that about giving back to other people as well, because you love to hear that people have got something out of it, because it is such a healing journey for you. But aside from the business, what other changes and benefits have you seen?
So I think just being present, just being a present mum, friend, just, I think that's the big thing, always being available. Always available and present is really the biggest thing. And I was thinking today, like, I have not had like that feeling for 3.5 years. That is amazing. Like, it just hopped me the day, like, you've not had the fear in 3.5 years. Like, yeah. You know, like, it's incredible. Like, whereas that was the cycle for all the years. Absolutely, being a present mum, seeing how, I know my kids are proud of me, and for example, for me coming onto this, I've got a 21-year-old, he's 22 this year, and I seen your message come through, and I knew, Kelly, I knew before you even messaged me, right, I knew you were going to ask me, and when I seen it, I thought, I can't open this up, oh no, and then I'm like, right, but anyway, I wanted to speak to my oldest son, because I thought, I don't want to go in and embarrass him, you know, but he's like, mm-hmm. Go for it. And do you know what? Having your 21-year-old laddie, like, supporting you and encouraging you to go and kind of share and tell your story, do you know, there's just something really beautiful about that. So there is.
If I can ask you about, because obviously 3.5 years, and it'll be hard to remember, like you said there, it's not often you think, oh God, thank God I don't get the fear anymore. It kind of, those thoughts are few and far between now. But at the start, did you find it difficult to remove alcohol from your life, or was it, this is it, I'm going to change my life, and you never thought about a drink again?
I don't want to speak too much about past relationships and stuff, but I was just about a relationship that was, the reason that ended was because of the other person's alcohol, and there was just a lot of, I've just seen too much, you know. Did I find it hard? I think because I was on this journey. When I moved here, I bought one bottle of beer and I sat with it and I thought, what am I doing? And it went down the sink. So I've never drank if I've lived in my home that I'm in just now. The odd time it would come up and catch me, like I would work a 2-week shift pattern, and every second Thursday I would finish at 4, I'd get myself a bottle of wine and I would make a homemade curry. So that would come back and trigger me sometimes, like, think, oh, it's Thursday. But what worked for me was play it forward, play it to, I still remember my last, I should say, mind you. Last party. But anyway, I blacked out as per usual, and I couldn't remember getting home, and I thought, oh, I'm just so done with this, it's not cool, teenage, you know, kids, and I'm tired of it, you know. So, but the odd time it would come back up and kind of bite me in the backside and get this wee feeling like, oh, it's Thursday, but no, I just played it forward. For me, playing it forward to that, the blackouts, Don't like how it makes me feel, not being in control. So that really worked for me, was to play that forward. So it did. And obviously, I joined the Zooms pretty early on as well. And hearing when all these emotions were coming to the kind of surface, and because I'm thinking about things that I'd done 10 years ago. And actually hearing other people's stories and being like, this is normal. Part of the healing, this will lift, and it has lifted. So it has. So I've made complete peace with myself. Do I wish I'd done it sooner? Absolutely.
Maybe it's a bit of a pointless question, but do you ever think what your life would look like now if you hadn't made that sort of brave choice? If there's a fork in the road and you decide you were going that way, what would have happened if you just continued on the path you were on? what the conversation we'd be having now look like?
So I wouldn't be sitting here having this conversation with you. I physically wouldn't be able to do it. Choked with anxiety, I just wouldn't be able to do it. I would still be working my 9 to 5 job, just in my cycle. I'm not, that's not been thingy towards them doing their 9 to 5s, but I wouldn't have had the confidence and the courage to step outside my comfort zone and try different things. And yeah, I would still be in that cycle. I would still be having the wine in the house and, take like 3 4 days afterwards, having that feeling, that kind of holding me back feeling. My vibration was low. It was very, very low. And
You're gonna have to tell me what you mean by that. When you say your vibration was low, what do you mean?
I just, how do I describe it? Like, I was just on a surface level. Like, I don't know
Yeah.
how else to describe it.
You were
Like,
just, I suppose it's like operating at 2 out of 10 type of thing. Would
yes.
you say it like that? Yeah.
Say like
Similar.
that. So for like some me, I'm just saying alcohol kept my vibration low because that's the cycle that I was in. I would drink at the weekend, and then for a couple of days afterwards, I literally as if somebody was holding me back from talking. So that's the way it affected me. So it
Yeah.
was. So you think you're having 2 days out of your life that you're trying to get yourself together because you've had a night out, or that was my cycle for all the years. So just removing it has just, it's just cleared my mind completely and actually,
I really hope there are people listening, Kelly and Laura, that are listening to this thinking, that's me. Do you know what I mean? That is me. Something here is holding me back. And it's like, and I know it's doing it. But I just can't get out of this sort of weekly or daily cycle of doing this, and this. Because what you just said there, Lawrence, it's absolutely massive, isn't it? That you said you would have been in the same job, you would have been anxious to hell, you would have been, unhappy. And, just looking at you now, you can tell you're totally comfortable with yourself and sort of like at one with yourself. And all because we drink. Do you know what I mean? It's like, all because that's what we've always done and it's habits and weekly habits and stuff.
For me, initially, as I said at the start, I thought, how can I go on and sell this? Because for me, it was like, because there's days where I am so exhausted, I'm so burnt out. But on the flip side of it, I sit back and think, look what you've done, what you've achieved. I've started a new business. I'm working every day, and I'm doing it all with a clear mind. I'm maybe not out running and, doing hills and whatever else, but on the flip side of it, I'm as happy to my core as I've ever been. And I just feel as if I have got something to say, I have got something to share, that maybe somebody else is out there physically. They physically can't exercise because whatever reason. Because I know when I overexert, I end up fatigued. So I do. So I've realised that with me, like my limits and stuff. So when I was trying to go running, I was getting totally floored with fatigue. So for me, but on the flip side of it, I've managed to create this. So I.
I think there's a two-pronged message there. There's the part of you don't need to, because you're like, what kind of message have I got to give? It's like if people think, oh, you need to hit rock bottom or your drinking's got to get so bad that you need to stop drinking, and then that's the message you've got to share. And then you've got on the other hand where it's like, well, I'm not running marathons and doing challenges. So that's not what it's about. It's about removing alcohol and finding your peace of mind and finding who you are. And that sounds cheesy as hell, but it's true. It's about finding out who you are and what makes you tick. And you've done that. You've done that, Laura.
See the peace that I have got in my heart, honestly, and just my mind is just, and I'm so happy I've said this. I am to my core, I'm so content and I'm just so at peace. And I know we never should say never, but I couldn't ever see me introducing that back into my life. I really couldn't.
Yeah, I haven't seen you for a while, and I can tell just by listening to you and talking to you that you're sort of like you are totally sort of at peace with yourself, if you know what I mean. Not that you weren't, but I can remember the conversations we used to have on the Zoom, and you were battling, if you know what I mean. And you can just tell now that you're a lot more comfortable. And isn't it crazy that we have all these guards and sort of ways that we are just because we're trying to portray this sort of like person that we think the world wants us to be. And really, if we actually stop and listen to ourselves and let things settle down so that we can hear what our body's telling us, if you like, it tells us who we are, if you know what I mean. And it's taken me a while, personally. I think, you know, it's taken me a long time. It's taken me longer than 3 years. And to be, you know, to be here and willing to have these conversations with you guys is kind of, you know, shows me where I'm at these days. But until you stop drinking, you're not, I just don't think you can be yourself. And that's a bold call, but it's true, isn't it?
Actually, like, that's so true, isn't it? Because truly knowing who I am, and I know it sounds cliche, but time is a healer. And obviously through at the beginning, the Zooms, that's what I was saying. I was carrying a lot of heaviness. So I've released and let go of a lot of that. And self-care for me was massive, like having nice baths in the evening, candles, walks, just being really kind, really gentle with myself. And in time, just knowing that it does get lighter, and it really, really does get lighter. And like say myself, that 8 month mark's in my head. And for somebody at the beginning of their journey might seem like so far away, but you know, something, see, just taking the baby steps and just getting through that one day to the next day. And there really is like light, so much peace at the end of the tunnel. Well, there has been for me, so.
You mentioned there about your sons, and before you came on here, you wanted to check that what they felt about it. What have your sort of friends and family, what have they seen, and have they made any comments about the change in Laura 3.5 years ago to the Laura now? What do they say about it?
So the thing, which is, it was so lovely. I think they've seen me initially stop and drinking, and then they've seen me grow a wee business. So just last year, in fact, I'm approaching 1 year. This is my business being 1 year on the 13th, believe it or not, Kelly.
Lucky 13.
There we go. It is lucky. Yeah.
There we go. And I remember putting on to the family chat, because there was no warning sign with me. I woke up again, not well, another bout of fatigue. Here we go again, because dogs, work, my life was just so fast-paced. And at the same time, I was trying to create something as well, doing what I'm doing just now. So I just woke up, no warning, and I've literally just phoned my line manager and just basically handed my notice in. Not encouraging that people do that unless you've got something in the background, you know. But when I put onto the family chat that I had just, what I had just done, the feedback was, it actually gives me goosebumps. My brother just says, "He who dares wins." That was it, one line. And that was enough, that, like, they believe in me, you know, just knowing that your family believe in you. And my youngest just says to me, "Mum, you're the most confident person that I know. How many people do you know give their job up to pursue their dream?" I'm just like, where did I get you
from? Oh, God.
Oh, I'm getting emotional listening to this, yes.
I've been modified with this, mind you, but anyway. So they're fully supportive, and it's just lovely. Because they've watched me grow as a person, they've watched my journey, and just knowing that people actually fully support you, it does, it warms your heart, so it does.
And the confidence that you then give them, and you show them that, you know, you follow your dreams, don't follow the crowd. Do what, you know, do what your heart tells you to do. Even though they're probably not absorbing it in those words, subconsciously, they've seen that's what their mum does. So, you know, in time to come, chances are they'll have the bravery. You know, they're not frightened to stand out from the crowd either. And you might have already seen that, Laura. You might see that in the future as well.
My friend, client, now good friends, had actually said that to me. Like, when you flip that round, like, what your son said to you, like, what you're showing them who you are, like, as a person, like, that's, so as it's lovely. Yeah. So sometimes I don't really think like that, and then obviously somebody will flip it round, and it does, it makes me think, and I'm proud of myself, and I think that's important as well, to be proud of yourself, because I know myself how much I have achieved. And I will keep on going forward. I keep on moving forward. It's not been an easy journey, but I have the determination, and I just keep moving forward with it.
It's mad, isn't it? You just remove one thing from your life and all these things happen. And she says it's not been an easy journey, but it gives you the headspace and the clarity to be able to do it. And I think that's one of the big things about removing alcohol from your life. And they say, well, they certainly say, like, for an alcoholic, you can't do it for other people, you can only do it for yourself. And I believe that, and there's an element of that in just removing alcohol from your life if you're not an alcoholic. But I think when you think about the path that you're going on and your kids are looking at you and they're proud and they're learning from what you're learning, that's magic in itself, I think. So your family's looking on. We talk about it all the time in the community, and it's cheesy as hell as well about being a lighthouse. But when there's other parents that talk about how their new habits are affecting their kids in a good way, it's about showing them the way. What's the word I'm looking for?
Well, the guidance, you mean, sort of thing. Just
being a good example. Is that the word, maybe?
Yes, yes, yeah.
It has a ripple effect, so it does. It has a ripple effect throughout, you know, the whole kind of family. So I completely understand that, Kelly,
And just what you were saying there, Kelly, about, you know, see, when you first stop drinking, things actually get a little bit harder for a while, because this is a rap analogy, but I'm going to use it anyway. We've been sorting our house out lately in terms of, you know, there's jobs that have needed to be done for years. And so the place has been in absolute uproar, because when you start something, you've got to then chuck everything out. So suddenly the garage is full of absolute crap and the house is an absolute bomb site. And it's been like that for a while whilst we're getting it sorted. And that creates sort of friction, if you know what I mean, and difficulty. And I think it's the same when you stop drinking. When I first stopped drinking, I would say my life got harder for a while, because suddenly all these thoughts and emotions and sort of energy and things and anxieties got worse for a while. Because I wasn't suddenly self-soothed with alcohol. But you've got to get through the other side of that. And when you then do get through the other side of it and things start to settle down, you start to know a bit about what actually makes you tick. You get all these little sort of like adrenaline buzzes from natural things and stuff. But, you know, it's got to get harder before it gets easier sometimes. And would you agree with that, Laura? Did you see a bit of that in the early days?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's, like you say, yourself, obviously, everything comes to the surface. That's the only way I can describe it. All these emotions and feelings were coming to the surface, and regret and guilt and shame. But that's, for me, that's what I talk about when I say it took me about 8 months to really kind of get through that, just with self-care, being really kind to myself. And eventually it does lift, so it does. But absolutely, like, if I was still drinking, my vibration would be low, Ian.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't have been facing that, so I wouldn't have. So that's what I mean when I just kind of say my vibration just kept me kind of,
I'm looking forward to this. So this session that you're doing within Alcohol Uncensored, it's about a month's time, isn't it, Kelly? Have I got that right?
Yeah, I think we're getting a bit confused with dates, but I think we've got you scheduled in for the 4th of May.
Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah. So I've not announced it yet in the forum, actually. So.
Let's break it now. What's it going to look like, Laura? Bearing in mind we're all dotted all over the world because there's people, you know, all over the place. But how will it look?
It's amazing. I this is all new for me as well. So as I had my very first session, like I said, on Monday evening. Overwhelmed. I feel as if 16 people coming in was just amazing. The feedback was incredible. So we just start with a little bit of breath work. Just, you would be lying. I would suggest, if you can, be lying in a comfortable place.
I can do that.
Headphones on in your bed. Headphones on for best experience. And just the more that you can follow the guidance with the breath work, just really allows you, your nervous system, to really settle and relax and just fully get into the experience, if you like. We will then do a little bit of guided meditation. But during this, I will have some of the sound bowls going as well. So the mic picks up the vibrations of the sound bowls as well. So some of your listeners may drift off, and that is absolutely fine. Towards the end, I've not really said this to Kelly, but I do like to just end it. I just feel, because people are in total, they're in relaxation, whatever you do at your side's fine, but just for me, it'll just be a case of, I'll just gently end the session.
Leave us sleeping for the night.
Yeah.
That's great.
No, it does.
How do the sound balls work? I kind of know what they are, and I've seen... clips of them and stuff. But how is it the vibrations that sort of?
Vibrations.
Yeah,
Ah.
yeah.
Was. It's wonderful. In fact, I've done loads actually. I feel as if I'm now I don't know, mixers and mics and learning lots and lots of new stuff. Things that it doesn't come easy or natural to me. I'm somebody who's neurodiverse and I struggle with learning, taking things in, and even kind of like the way I speak as well. I can struggle a lot. So it takes me to do things repetitive over and over before things.
Yes. Yeah.
So this whole journey's been months in the making just to get live on Zoom with the whole system set up and whatnot.
Yeah.
So I'm dead proud of myself. I've actually got to this level and this stage, but I've created a recording as well. So I listen to my own recording at night, and like as I take people a bit deeper into their meditation, I wake up and I think, I was still on the stairs. I never got off the stairs, you know, just I'm away. And that's been my own recording as well. So, but I just feel the vibration of the bowls, it just really allows you to kind of go deeper, I feel like.
Yeah.
With the frequency, so we can have, things can be a little bit out of balance, whether it be spiritually, mentally or emotionally. And with the frequency of the sound bowls, it can bring that balance just back down to a base, if you can visualize it like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that can come with emotions. So that's probably how Kaylee's experienced, you know, right. A wee bit of tears. And you can literally feel like sometimes like a shift in energy. And that's obviously what you've said as well, with how you felt, Ian, after the 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Heart. So that is what the crystal bowls do. It's just about trying to bring your vibration back to a base.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I get that. Yeah. I'm looking forward to this.
And it's amazing. We're just sitting here chatting, right? And if you'd have spoke to me this a few years ago, I'd have been like, oh, she is after heat. Vibrations and sound and like emotions and stuff. But as she was saying it, I was like, wow, that must have been why the tears came. Oh. It must have just been a build up, do you know? And I would have been not open-minded to this kind of stuff before. And you just remove one thing from your life and you get to have these conversations and experience those kind of things. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so much now that I'm so much more open to, you know, like meditation. I do religiously first thing on the morning. You know, things like this, the sort of the sound baths and stuff. It's just like, I get it. Ask me to explain it. I wouldn't have a cat in hell's chance, but I get it fundamentally. There's lots of things going on with our bodies, I think, and our minds that we don't really know much about, or certainly the vast majority of people don't really know much about. And actually, we can do ourselves a lot of good, can't we, if we're willing just to explore these things. And if somebody wants to ridicule you or laugh at you, well, their loss, isn't it, really? It's fantastic. Yeah.
You wonder if women are more open to it, because I think Laura said most of the people are women that go along to it, and you wonder if there would be any men that haven't decided to remove alcohol from their lives and change their lives, if they are as open to it. I wonder if there's a little bit like, God, it's not a blokey thing to do.
Well, I saw the video that you put on, Laura, sorry to put in there. I saw the video that you put on Facebook, and I saw the guy who was, you know, given the review, and he looked like a normal fella, if you know what I mean. I thought, and I saw the clip and thought, they look like normal fellas, and I thought, good on them for sort of doing something like that, you know. And and it gave me the confidence, I think, actually, because you're right, Kelly. Blokes are, I include myself in this, you know, somebody who's a bit sort of worried about what other blokes will think if I do these sort of things. But I'd love to give something like that a go. So yeah.
So that fella, that's the fella, his journey. He's been now 2 year alcohol free as well. And he's 27 years of age. And I'm just like so proud of him, because he's just changing not only his life, but his little ones and all, you know, it's amazing. So as just people, and he's got a platform that he's using, his platform to speak and tell the benefits, and he's there for people as well. So that's how we had connected on social media, as I have done with other people as well. Just the social media side of things has been amazing for myself, connecting with kind of like-minded people. So having him giving an honest review just blew my mind, absolutely blew my mind. I never asked them to do that, and it's amazing when people just go out their way to share their experience. It's just wonderful. And he's going to normalise it for other fellas out there as well to come along and be minded and give it a try, you know.
That's what it is. It's normalising these things, isn't it? And not making them appear to be sort of woo-woo or crazy or sort of a little bit sort of bizarre. It's perfectly normal because it's, you know, how you describe the sort of vibrations and stuff. I think we're all tuned into this, pardon the pun, without us sort of realising.
Oh, do you know what? I think I've set a challenge for myself in my head just as you were speaking there. I'm going to get my brother and my three boys along one night to Laura's.
Yeah.
Right, I've said it on the pod. I'm going to try and get them along and see how they feel about it. We'll see. We'll see. I'll let you know.
There is an option. Like, I do private sessions. So for people that maybe are not comfortable, there people will come to me with their family members for kind of more private sessions, group sessions like that, if that is something that
you... I would love to say to them, like, just do an experiment for me as guy, my brother might be into it a little bit, but the boys definitely wouldn't be. They'd be like, what's that all about? And it would be nice, it would be interesting to see what their experience would be like. And like you say, that guy's normalising it is something that's a feel-good thing to do for yourself.
So my lad, the older one at 21, 22 this year, he, the odd time him and his girlfriend when they come in, I'll say, right, come on, and I'll do a wee session for they two, you know, and they love it. They love it. But getting him to come to one of the group sessions, he's not so keen, but he'll happily lie there and have a wee private session, you know. So it's an age thing, isn't it, as well with them? Just outside their comfort zone, I suppose.
Laura, if people want to get in touch with you separately, do you offer the virtual services to anybody? So if people are outside of the area, can they book in with you? Or is it typically sort of face-to-face that you tend to operate?
So now I am bringing in the virtual side of it. I've got another Zoom link that is going up for April the 13th. So people can reach out to me on Rosella Holistic Therapy. You'll get me on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram. And it would just be a case of me sending them a link and they can log on for the comfort of their own home if they do live further afield.
Yeah. Rosella Holistic Therapy. How do you spell Rosella?
Rose/Ella, Ella.
Thank you.
That's the dog's name, is that right?
That's my dog. Did I know that, Ian?
No, I didn't. No.
Yeah. People call me that now call me Rose, and I'll need to message them and say, by the way, my name's Laura.
Oh, listen, it's been absolutely brilliant today, Laura. It really has. It's been lovely to chat with you. Thanks very much for pushing yourself outside your comfort zone, because I know when I asked you, you're like, oh, Kelly, I don't know what you're asking me this for. So good on you for pushing yourself and coming and doing it. It's much appreciated.
Thank you so much. Lovely to see both of you again.
You too.
Speak to you soon.
Before you go, Laura, I think we've all been pushed out of our comfort zone tonight, Kelly, because I think, you know, there's things, it's a totally new topic to me, but I've now come away thinking, you know, I'm definitely going to be on that one on the 5th of April. And I'm also thinking to myself, actually, I might book on one of those ones beforehand and, you know, do that as well. Or I might find somebody local to me. Who knows? But it's definitely got me thinking. Before we let everyone else go, Kelly, what do we need to do? We need to sort of tell everybody that if they are still enjoying these podcasts as we move into, as we've just finished number 13, they should like and subscribe. They should tell their pals. They should get out their comfort zone and go and tell some pals, I've been listening to this and it's doing it for me and I think it should do it for you. And if they want to speak to us, Kelly, if they want to get in touch, what's the best way of doing that?
If they want to get in touch on the website, alcoholuncensored.co.uk or on Instagram, Facebook. We have got our first in-person event coming up on the 19th of April in the Chiltern Hills. And that's open to non-members. So if anyone is listening and thinking, do you know, I'd like to go along and see who these weird people are, feel free to click on the link within the website and come and join us. For our members listening, I hope it interests you what Laura's been talking about. It's amazing. And she's coming to do a session on the 4th of May. And I'll get those details out to the community and on the forum as well.
Yeah. And if anybody is listening to this thinking, I'm not sure, or I'll jump onto a Zoom with Ian and Kelly and have a chat. We'd love to speak to you, you know, in total confidence and try and put your mind at rest or not. But hopefully put your mind at rest that we're not a bunch of internet weirdos. And you know what? For the sake of 20 quid that you can cancel at any time you want, I'm going to give it a go. So yeah, that would be great. Laura, it's been great to catch up with you. And I feel chilled more just than I was an hour ago just having this conversation. So thank you for
Thanks, everyone.
See you later.